Welcome to the broadcast of Alive and Remain Ministries. Please stay tuned after the message to find out how you can order a copy and learn more information about this dynamic ministry. Now, here's your host, Pastor John Massey Jr.
I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the sixth chapter of Matthew and hold 2 Kings chapter 4. Hold 2 Kings chapter 4. I am expecting the miraculous here in America and in all the world, and I'll tell you why. I wrote something that I have to finish writing it. One of the things that we understand is that God doesn't change. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. God doesn't change, but we change. The church changed. And there have been many explanations that have been given why we don't see the miracles today as they were in the early churches, first, second, and third century, but particularly that has been documented in the first century. Well, there's a reason. The Lord hasn't changed, but the church has. And I was writing down some reasons why God is not favoring the church. It's not just about faith. Most of the times they will say, well, it's a lack of faith. No, it's about favor. You can have all the faith in the world, but if God at his discretion doesn't favor you, you will not get that particular miracle that you're asking for. And one of the things that faith does, it always gives us grace. First thing you look for is not healing, but grace. Grace is to bear up under the load or the test or the trial. And I'm going to address a little bit that today to show you how easily the church has been infiltrated and how we have been duped and deceived into believing as the world believes. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not bringing anybody under any particular condemnation. I'm just merely expressing what's in the Bible. Today, we have been sold and we have been persuaded that we need insurance. We need driver's insurance. We need health insurance, medical insurance, dental insurance, unemployment insurance, life insurance, property insurance, everything insurance, we need it. And we have become enslaved into that propaganda. Note I said it is propaganda. I'm going to show you the real insurance that we need and the only insurance that we need. And again, this is not a condemnation. I'm merely telling you what the Bible has to say. As I said, September 2008, I put it on the internet so that it wouldn't be any question that I was just making anything up. And before it was public knowledge, September 2008, I said that there would be coming year in 2009, an insurance crisis. And there is still an insurance crisis. And you can expect the insurance companies to fail. You can go on the internet, and there were 10 things I said you can expect to happen in 2009. Just about all of them have happened. And it wasn't a prophecy. It was just a prediction. It was just a forecast of what was going to happen. Well, the dependency that we have on the insurance industry is going to crumble. Your dependency, the faith that you had and the trust that you had in the system is going to end quite rapidly. Your abilities to be able to get medication under the insurance industry is going to evaporate. Many of the comforts that we have and the amenities that we have that we've paid for, pretty soon we're not going to have them. We will address that. But in the sixth chapter, beginning with verse number 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He's asking you to consider the illustration. If God can clothe the landscape of the earth, the Lord is asking us to make a correlation. Say, now, if God can do the greater, he can do the lesser. Again, let me read. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into ovens, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye little faith? And now, the illustration is, for fuel, they would cut the grass, a particular grass, they would dry it out, and they would use it as a combustible fuel for fire. Say, something as plentiful as that. Say, God is controlling something that we take for granted. Therefore, take no thought, saying, or consider, or entertain, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? It's talking about necessities. Saying, now don't become preoccupied worrying about necessities. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? How shall we be clothed? How will I be able to sustain myself? It's not talking about God making provisions. The emphasis is, how will I be able to sustain myself? Now, there are many preachers, most of them are sincere, and there are some that are disingenuous and that are not sincere, telling the folks in America, don't worry about anything. So there's nothing to worry about. As I told you, one well-known preacher said, God has his finger on the reverse button. And I'm gonna name this particular one here. I can see him now. His name is Ron Parsley. He said, now I want you to know what God is going to do. He said, when all the money fails and Wall Street fell, God is gonna put the money in the hands of his people. I knew he was lying. He didn't have any scripture for that. And I'm paraphrasing, he had no Bible for that. That was wishful thinking. The church has never controlled the wealth of the world. Keep that in mind, and there's no scripture that you can concoct out of the scriptures and construe and distort to make that a reality. And then there's the other one, Dr. Leroy, I can't think of his name, and all of them telling lies. And I don't usually talk like that, but they're lying because it's not in the Bible. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. It's nothing more than deception. Verse 32, and this is our concern. For after all these things do the Gentiles, the world, seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Say, don't be like the Gentiles. Don't learn the ways of the unsaved. Don't be preoccupied with anxiety, worrying about how you are going to sustain yourself. But look what it says here in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. This is God's insurance prescription. Say, you don't have to worry about the atrocities. You don't have to worry about necessities. Say, be preoccupied with heaven. Not earthly things, but heavenly things. And said, God will add or provide these things for you. So the question that we've got to ask ourselves, or what is in question right now, is, will I trust God to provide for myself, for me and my family and my necessities, or will I continue to suffer from anxiety about how I am going to sustain myself? Money will fail. I told my wife and I told you on Friday, I am so happy. I'm so thrilled that God has shaped my mind and molded me to live the way I live. No money saved in the bank. No CDs, no securities, no savings account, no insurance policies, no health insurance, no life insurance. I don't have any of it. All I got is God. And that's enough. Again, this is not condemnation, it is a testimony. Verse 34, take therefore no thought. Now, this word thought in the Greek means anxiety. It means to worry. Take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. He said, now sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, what that really means is that you have enough to be concerned with today, not to be preoccupied worrying about tomorrow. Say, get through today. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Tomorrow's promise to no one. Get through the day. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And worrying and taxing yourself about something that has not even occurred. Let's get through today. Let's be victorious today. Turn with me, if you please, to the 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Say, Elijah, you know that my husband served you faithfully, and he feared God. He's dead. No insurance policy. He left us nothing but debt. Now the creditor said, I cannot pay. The creditor is coming to claim or take my two sons as bondsmen. Let me tell you, this still does happen today in the world for those of us that would be on the verge of losing our loved ones into slavery. But the world would say, don't allow yourself to be in a predicament like this. Take out some life insurance. Have everything insured. Just have insurance. Well, this woman was desperate, this widow. She sends to the man of God, said, you know the reputation of my husband. And say, now I have nothing else. I've lost my husband, and I'm on the verge of losing my two sons. Verse 2, and Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me. What hast thou in thine house? And she said, thine handmaid have not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Have no flour, no meal, no corn, no wheat. Just a pot of oil. Nothing of any intrinsic value. I don't have any valuables that I can sell. So just a pot of oil. That's all I have in my possessions. See, let me explain something to you about God. God doesn't need any of us to have a lot of resources to be blessed. Paul says, our God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. You don't have to have a bank account or a checking account or credit cards or debit cards for God to sustain you. God can take a little bit of something or a little bit of nothing and make something out of it. When the disciples saw that the multitude was about ready to faint and they were fatigued, they came to Jesus and said, why don't you send them away that they may go buy something to eat in the villages? Jesus responded to the apostles, said, you feed them. And they said, how shall we feed them? The Lord said, well, how many loaves of fish do you have? They said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what is that among so great a multitude? The Lord said, bring it to me. God doesn't care how small it is, bring it to him. Song says, if there's a need in your life, Jesus says, bring it to me. So as they brought the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and the Lord looked up to heaven and blessed them or favored them. And as he broke them, he broke the bread, it continued to multiply while it was in his hand. And when it was all over with, 5,000 beside the women, men, women and children ate of it. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So the woman here has an illustration where she said, I just have something as significant. I don't have a barrel. I just have a pot of oil. But the oil didn't do any good. She didn't have any meal. She didn't have any corn. She didn't have any wheat. That's all. But the man of God perceived that's all God needed. Verse 3, then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow as many as you can, not a few. So he perceived, and being led of God, he instructs her, say, now run as far as you possibly can, borrow as many empty vessels as you possibly can. Now this doesn't make sense. But when God performs miracles, the intellectual and the natural mind cannot comprehend or ascertain what God is going to do. And so she went about and she sent her sons to borrow as many empty vessels. Verse 4, and when thou come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Say, now, I want you to take the pot of oil, and I want you to start pouring into the vessel. And when that vessel is full, I want you to set it aside. And then I want you to take that same pot of oil and pour it in another vessel. And when that is full, set it aside. And you just keep pouring as many vessels you have. You keep the pot in your hand. Keep it in your hand because God has favored and blessed the pot of oil. So as she poured, the oil continued to multiply as it went from the pot down to the vessel. Stay with me if you please. That's how God works. As the saying is there anything too hard for God? Don't worry about what's in the cabinet. Don't worry about what's in the shelter or what's in the vegetable bin. Don't worry about what's in the bank and what's not in the bank. Don't even worry about a job. Don't worry about being homeless. Don't worry about the rent and the car payment. Our God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Stay with me. Verse number 5. And so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured. Not the sons. See, when God wants to bless you and favor you, he wants you to keep it in your hands. You expect God to bring the blessing to you because it's about your faith. Now the woman could have said, now wait a minute, why fill my house with empty vessels? She didn't ask any questions. When you need a miracle from God, don't ask any questions. Just obey the word. Verse 6, And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. It was cut off. And in other words, the miracle was designed particularly for as many vessels that she could bring into the house. And when there was no more vessels, there was no more need for the miracle. But stay with me and let me show you how God works. Verse 7, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children on the rest. That was an insurance policy. She didn't have any life insurance or death insurance. She didn't have unemployment insurance. She did not have a will. She had nothing in the bank. But God took a little bit of something and favored it or blessed it that she would be able to live off of it until she needed another miracle. And that's how God works. Let me explain to you a little bit about the Syrian general. His name was Naaman. Sit down if you please. Naaman was a great, great general in the Syrian army, and God had sold Israel into slavery and had allowed this Syrian general to conquer Israel. And they took some of the Israelites captives, and there was a little maid, a nobody, no one in particular, but this general was well favored of God, even though he was a Gentile. And the maid said to someone in the house, would the master go to the prophet that is in Israel and he would be recovered from his leprosy? Now, he was a leper. And word got back to the king of Syria because he loved Naaman, because this was his commander-in-chief. So he got together a bounty, and he sent it to the king of Israel and sent Naaman, said, now I want you to recover him from his leprosy, and this is the reward. Immediately the king tore his clothes. He said that the king of Syria is trying to provoke a conflict with him, and so he didn't know what to do, but he was grieving. He tore his clothes. Word got to the man of God that the king was in distress. And Elijah said, bring him over here to me that he might know that there is a God in Israel. Say, bring him over here. So Naaman with his entourage, the commander-in-chief, or should I say the general of the Syrian army, came with his entourage with all these gifts and presents, and he was waiting for Elisha to come out and recover him from his leprosy. But the man of God stayed in the house. This is how God works. This is why God says, my ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. So Elijah just calmly sent his servant out, saying, you go tell him to dip in the river of Jordan 7 times, and he shall be cleansed. Naaman had his expectations of how he wanted God to work. And that's where we run into trouble. We try to dictate to God how we want a miracle. So Naaman became a fool, and a fool in his rage, no one can handle. So he was insulted. He told his servant, said, I thought surely he would come out of the house. He would hit the doorpost. He would wave his hand over me and call on his God, and I would recover. So he went away. But he was beloved, his servants. They said, Father, Father, Father. Say, if the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, he said, you would have done it. He said, how much more to go dip in the river of Jordan and be cleansed? In his mind, he said, we got 2 rivers in Damascus. that are better than this Jordan. It's not about the river. It's about the favor that God will give you. So finally, he went down, he dipped 7 times. God says not 6 times, not 5 times, but 7 times. Why God says 7 times? Because that's his number of completion or his number of perfection. God could have healed him the first time. He could have healed him the second time. He could have healed him the third time or the fourth time or the fifth time. But God said 7 times. Look, just because you've been praying, don't give up on your prayer. God could have answered your prayer the first time you prayed. God could have answered your prayer the second time you prayed. But the Lord said that men ought to always pray. Not to quit, not to give up, not to get discouraged, but to continue to pray. Elijah had to pray 7 times for rain. He didn't give up. He didn't quit. I don't know how long you have been praying, but whatever how long it's been, don't give up on prayer. Continue to pray, if you please. And so finally he dipped 7 times and said his flesh became like a child. And he went back to the man of God saying, now, how can I pay you for what you have done? Elijah said, I don't want any of it whatsoever. It was just favor that the Syrian had with God. Listen, you can't buy favor. You know how them preachers tell you to send some money and your kid's going to get off of drugs and all your bills going to be paid if you send them money. You can't buy favor. Only way you can get a miracle from God is the faith. Not money, but faith. The Bible says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And the Bible tells us that there was a woman, 12 years, she had an issue of blood. The Bible says she went to every doctor that money could buy. She had the best of the best, and still she got no better, but she got worse. But faith told her that if I could but just touch the hem of his garment, she said, I shall be whole. There was nothing written in the word of God that said that that would occur. Nobody told her that that was going to happen, but she believed within herself. And the Bible says when she touched the hem of his garment, brothers and sisters, we've got to be able to get in touch with Jesus. Never mind about insurance plans and insurance policies and securities. Your security is in Christ. And the Bible says when she touched him, Jesus stopped in his tracks and said, who touched me? And the disciples, they were startled, they were amazed. He said, you see all these people pulling on you and you're going through the throne and everybody's touching you? He said, but I perceive that virtue has gone out of my body. What does that mean? A lot of people are praying, but everybody's not getting an answer. Did you hear what I said? A whole lot of folks are praying, but everybody's not getting an answer. But this particular woman, she touched him in faith, believing. That's why, brothers and sisters, when you pray, you've got to have some faith in your prayers. Just don't pray and forget about what you did, but you got to continue to believe. If God did not do it today, I believe he'll do it tomorrow. Why? Because I've already prayed, and I know that God has heard my prayer. If he doesn't do it tomorrow, he's going to do it the next day. Until he performs his miracle in my life, I'm going to continue to believe. It was just like the 10 lepers. There were 10 lepers that were standing afar off, desiring to be healed. And Jesus healed them, but not right then and there. The Bible says, as they went away, say, they were healed. I'm trying to tell you not to give up on your prayers. God has already heard your prayers. Whatever the need is in your life, the answer is on the way. Doesn't matter how long you've been. got to wait. Doesn't matter how long it takes to get the answer, but God will answer you because his ears are open unto your prayers. He told Isaiah, say, my ears not heavy that I cannot hear. Neither is my arm shortened that I cannot save. My brothers and sisters, don't you give up on God. I don't care how the crisis begin to unfold. Don't give up on God. It doesn't matter who walks off out of your life. It doesn't matter if nobody loves you and everybody's turning against you. Don't you give up on God. My brothers and sisters, it's not about the money. It's not about how much money you can make. That's not your security. It's not about how many friends you have. That's not your security. Your security, your insurance policy is in Jesus. I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, it's not time to depend on flesh. Don't depend on your loved ones. Don't depend on your friends and on your families. But your faith has to be rock solid on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see the word of God here. The Lord said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Listen to what the Lord said. He said, whosoever hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him upon a wise man that built his house upon a rock. What are we talking about? We're talking about your faith when we're talking about your house being built upon a rock. The song says, upon this solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. I'm asking you this afternoon, is your faith in Jesus? Are you anchored in Christ? As the song said, in times like these, say, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips that solid rock. That rock is Jesus. He's the one. That rock is Jesus. He's the only one. Be very sure. Solid rock. I said the rock is Jesus. Don't you let nobody discourage you. Don't you let nobody turn you around. Take your eyes off of the world and put your eyes on Jesus. Forget about your circumstances and put your eyes on Jesus. Do what David said. The Lord is my shepherd. I've got my mind on Jesus. I've got my eyes on Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. He said, I shall not want. I'm talking about God. I'm not talking about your arm of flesh. I'm not talking about a companion. I'm not talking about family members. I'm not talking about friends. I'm not talking about job. I'm not talking about money. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Tell yourself, say, oh, soul, remember what God has done for you. Oh, soul, remember how God has kept you. Oh, soul, look where God has brought you from. Oh, soul, remember the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember the Lord. David was talking about it. He was talking about, he said, when my heart is overwhelmed, I want you to lead me to that rock that is higher than I. David said, I want the Lord to keep me. I want the Lord to draw me. I want the Lord to cover me. He said, when thou sayest, seek ye my face, he said, my soul saith unto thee, thy face will I seek. Listen what he said. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my soul saith unto thee, thy face will I I seek after. Hallelujah. I want God to talk to me. Lord, tell me if you need me to pray, I'll pray. Tell me, Lord, if you need me to fast, I'll fast. Say whatever you want me to do. Say, Lord, I'm willing to do it. Wherever you want me to go, I'm willing to do it. Just speak to me, Lord. Speak to my mind. Speak to my heart. Bring me under conviction. Make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is that I might know how frail I am. I want to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I want to trust in him with all my mind, with all my soul. Tell the Lord. Say, Lord, this afternoon, say, I'm struggling. Say, I thought I had it all together. I thought I could make it by myself. I thought I made the right decision, but I'm still struggling. Every time it seems like I think I'm doing the right thing, I'm still struggling. Say, Lord, I don't want to struggle anymore. I want you to write it in my mind. I want you to write it in my heart. I want you to put your word down in my soul. I don't want to fall anymore. I don't want to miss the mark anymore. I don't want to be short of the glory anymore. Say, oh Lord, I need you to order my steps, because the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Tell me, Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Order my steps, Lord. Keep me as the apple of thine eye and the center of thy will. Say, I'm tired, so tired of not being what God wants me to be. But make me, tell the Lord, make me to be what I ought to be. How many of you want to be what you ought to be? Do you want to be what you ought to be? Tell the Lord. Songwriter said, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear this burden alone. As she was singing a song this morning, oh, bread of heaven, I lift my cup to you, fill it up, let it overflow. The David says, my cup runneth over, and surely I've got to tell myself that in spite of how bad things might be, or how bad the circumstances might be, or the outcome does not look favorable, I've got to tell myself, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, because God's word says so. My Bible tells me that all things are working together for good. I don't care what you're going through now. It doesn't matter what you're feeling right now, but all things are working together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. I've got to believe the word of God. I've got to let the Lord fix me. I've got to let him make me to be what I want to be. I've got to get the Lord to order my steps. I've got to say, not my will, but thy will be done. I'm tired having my hands to the plow and looking back. Tired of being up and sometimes down. Tired of being level to the ground. Tired of missing the mark. Hallelujah. I don't want to be like the unsaved. I don't want to be like the Gentiles. I don't want to worry about food. I don't want to worry about clothing. I'm not going to worry about shelter. I'm not going to worry about the bills. I'm not going to worry about the job. I'm not going to worry about the car. So I'm going to put it all in God's hands. So I'm going to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. I want to make heaven secure, that if I die like Lazarus, where I'm a poor beggar, if I lose everything, like Peter said, we have left all to follow you, but I'm on my way to heaven and I'm so glad. And this afternoon, it's heaven, 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 heaven. I've got to be sure. Not just sure, but I've got to be very sure. This afternoon when I leave, I'm sure. There's no doubt in my mind, it's heaven. I have no other desire. David said one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Say, that will I seek after. Say, I'll be in pursuit of it, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. all the days of my life. I just want to be with God. This afternoon, I just want to be saved. I just want to be in His good, acceptable, and perfect will. I just want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to be pleasing in His eyesight. I don't want to be caught up in the Gentile mentality. If I don't have a house, if I have to wander the streets, I want to be saved. If I have to do like they did in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, they wander about in dens and caves in the earth, but they're saved. The Bible says these all obtain a good report through faith. But God, having provided some better thing for us, we got to keep in power. The Lord told the disciples, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I'll come unto you myself. So He said, I'm with you now, but I shall soon be in you. Is Jesus in you? Is the Lord in you? Is the Holy Ghost in you? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. As the song says, if you live right, heaven belongs to you. If you pray right, heaven belongs to you. Holy people, heaven belongs to you. If I just live right. And God can help us to live right if we want to live right. Now, there's no time to be making any more excuses. All of us can be transformed and be what we ought to be if we just give God another opportunity. God will help us if we let Him. But most important, Lord, my mind. I just can't think the way I used to think. I got to think in times. Things are getting worse. I can't think the way I thought last year and the week before that. And what I was planning 10 years ago and 5 years ago and 2 years ago, I can't think like that. I see the day approaching. It's right here. It's upon us. And tomorrow is promised to no one. So what I have to do, I'm going to do it today. Because if we never ever see each other again, it's well with my soul. I'm free and I'm made whole. The only thing counts this afternoon is not what's in your pockets. It's not about your ambitions. It's about, are you saved?
You've been listening to Pastor John Massey Jr. with Alive and Remain Ministries. To order a copy of this message, please call 518-272-6679. That's 518-272-6679.
Alive and Remain Ministries is a part of the Redemption Church of Christ. You can visit on the web, redemptionchurch.net.
And don't forget to join Pastor John Massey Jr. with Alive and Remain Ministries every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Gospel Impact Radio.